Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 179. It's the week of July 4th, 2013. Happy Independence Day to everybody. Yes, I'm back, and I've been on a little bit of a podcast vacation. This morning, I'm going to go out for a run, so this will be a little different than previous shows. It's been a long time since I've taken the podcast listeners out for a run, but that's what I'm going to do this morning. Goal is to get six. It's nice and humid, and I'm by myself. I was going to be running with Ashland Tom this morning, but he had something come up, so I will be by myself. I'm going to, plug in my iPod here. Actually, I'll save the iPod for when I'm done producing this segment. Yeah, it's got a little bit to go over here. It's been a while since I put a show out, and you can pretty much bank on the fact if I'm not producing a show, that means I'm not really doing much running, and I'll talk a little bit about that. In the next few minutes, just getting on my, setting up my little water here, putting some water on my front porch, and I will come back and get that after I do a little bit of, a little out and back. All right, let's get going. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming back for this show if you've been a regular listener. Some of y'all probably were wondering if I was going to be doing another show because it's been about a month, I think, since the last one. Well, there's just been a lot of stuff going on, and I guess you could call that life, you know. I guess the big thing, I was out of town for a whole week at a training class in Lynchburg, Virginia, which is about 2 hours, I guess, west of here. It's in the Shenandoah Valley. Beautiful part of Virginia, and it was so hot that week. I got in three runs, but each one of them was a struggle. And I guess the biggest problem being I didn't feel like any of them were quality, so it just kind of got frustrating, and I wasn't really didn't really enjoy it that much. But I got three in. I traveled out there with two other guys from work. I knew that one of them did any exercise at all that week. And our hotel was up on this big hill. So the tail end of each run was climbing up this hill, which really sucked. But that's what it was. So I was there a whole week. And just no motivation, really, to get out there and do much. You know, running with an iPod didn't do anything to help. It was so hot. There was a treadmill in our hotel, and it didn't really look very good. And the first day I went out for my run was we traveled up there on a Sunday night, and if it was a Monday through Friday class. So after work on Monday, we got back to the hotel, and I decided I was going to go for a run, do a 5-miler. Well, I go outside, it just started raining. Just started to rain right when I went outside. And not easy rain, it was kind of like a storm rain. And then somebody from the class came out and was obviously going to go run, and somebody I recognized from the class, staying in the same hotel. And we had a little discussion about running in the rain versus running on a treadmill. Both knew there was one treadmill, and I just said, hey, why don't you go and take the treadmill? I'll just run in the rain. Hadn't done that in a while. So I did, and something that I thought was going to be refreshing, you know, running in the pouring rain, just became really a pain in the ass. Situation being, raining so hard, you know, my shirt just totally stuck to me like a second skin. Had to wring it out. Shorts were just you know, full of water, just totally sticking to me, and it turned out to be a mistake. You know that commercial where there's people drive around that Subaru and they say, I can catch a falcon, caught a falcon, I can eat an insect, let's do that, let's go in a hot spring, and then they say, we shouldn't have done that. That's what running in the rain was for me that particular day. The other runs that week were mediocre. Lynchburg's lots of ups and downs, so there was really no, got into no rhythm. What I should have done was get in the car, drive into the city itself, and run on this path down by the James River, which I've known I'd run that before. I've been to Lynchburg for a class before, and that's what I should have done, but we're all in one car. It wasn't my car, so I just kind of had to make do. Another problem I've had, and this is just what I'm guessing, is I got bitten by some ticks. And that has to, hey, morning. That has to have been playing a role in my lack of motivation. I went camping back in May with my daughter and some other dads and daughters. We do a dads and daughters camping trip with canoeing and stuff. And I have three pretty significant tick bites that didn't get infected, or you know, I didn't have those red rings around them or anything, but they've itched so bad. And one, I scratched the lead, it hurt so bad. Part of me wonders if that was part of the reason why I haven't had motivation. I don't know. I've been busy on the weekends. One example of that is I went up and watched the United States men's national team soccer play the German national team at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. It was an international friendly, and that kind of took, I think that was a Sunday. Yeah, I guess I could have run on the Saturday of that week, but I didn't. Just been busy with different things. I think the biggest thing, and some of y'all out there who spend a lot of time online might understand this, the biggest thing is that I've overdosed on information. Too much information. All right, let me let this truck pass. Plus I'm freaking winded. I haven't even done my first mile. Pathetic. All right, I'm going to get off the road and get on a trail here. Too much information, man. You know, I like doing the podcast. I like listening to others' podcasts. But, and I'm not complaining here because I really appreciate everybody listening to the show. But podcast was originally a self-serving avenue or method for me to be accountable to myself for my running. And when I first started doing it, I got feedback from others that helped encourage me, which I think made me successful. And as a result of the popularity of the podcast, and don't get me wrong, this is a good problem to have, and sometimes I get too much information because I do a podcast. I get information from other podcasters soliciting me to promote something on their show or something like that. And I don't mind getting that information at all. I love reading it. The processing of it and then turning around with it and producing it back is what takes the time. And that doesn't mean I want anybody to stop their emails. I don't. It's just that I can't reply and then put those emails back out in the show, which is what I like to do in the email back section of the show. That just becomes time consuming. And with my job, I process lots and lots of digital information. as most people do at work. It's just hard for me to come home and spend an evening, a couple evenings a week doing that. Now, I changed the podcast from a weekly to like a 10 days every 2 weeks type of thing, which is still my goal. But sometimes I do need to take time off, and that's what I've done over the last month. So please, keep your emails coming, dashanddave@gmail.com. Definitely want to keep getting those emails. I love hearing from people. Sometimes it's just hard to respond back right away with a heartfelt response. Sometimes it's easier for me to respond in the podcast verbally when I have the time to mentally put myself into a decent response when I'm sitting down producing the show. So the purpose today of producing the show while I'm running is not only to demonstrate how pathetic my endurance has gotten with me being winded at 0.94 miles in to the point where I'm ready for my first walk break. I mean, I've gained some weight. I'm probably carrying another 8 to 10 pounds from the last month, or from the marathon in April with Sandy up in the Blue Ridge. And I just had a really difficult time getting out here. And I think failure begets failure. And I'm kind of down in a failing state of mind, which means my runs have not been full of quality. So it kind of loses a little bit of inspiration going out for the next one. All right. So I'm 10 minutes, 15 seconds for that first mile. Not bad. Catch my breath a little bit here, and I'll get going again. So I'm trying to overcome that, and that was really the big theme for this show. Is, and I had to get through that stuff at the beginning just to get through it. Is, how do I get my motivation back? I'm scheduled to run a 50K August 3rd. That's a month, and I'm not even up to double digits. Now, I have no problem going out there and run walking it. Never have, never really cared what people thought. Ultras are different anyway. But kind of out of respect for the distance and the race director, I don't want to come in last place and I don't want to walk a majority of the race. So my plan is going to be to go out there and just go as far as I can. You know, I've already paid the money. I've never DNF'd before, so this very well could be the first time. I'm not going out there with that intent, but I think that my experience should mean something, shouldn't it? I mean, I've run 24 marathons. I think 8 of those were ultra distance. I think 8. And I mean, doesn't experience count for something? I mean, I know there's no way that I'll be able to run at all if I just have not expanded my glycogen stores in my legs and the muscles. I just know it's not possible. But I mean, I've run 250 milers, several 50Ks, 100K, 63 plus miles. I mean, doesn't that count for something mentally? It's gotta, right? I mean, that's my way of thinking. So I'm kind of hoping that'll do it. The only problem is I'm just almost out of time. And last week was the first time I got 20 miles in for the whole week. And that's pretty bad. That's just over half the distance of the whole race. So it could very well be an interesting day. You know, one that I just say, you know what? It's not my day. I'm not ready for it. Or if I go in with total low expectations, sometimes good things happen, and that's happened to me before. We'll see. Now I have to offer a little bit of honesty here in reference to the motivation issue. Is there is a part of me that wonders if I still really like the long distance running. you know, the long stuff, half marathon and beyond, marathon and beyond. I mean, I've bit off a pretty big chunk of distance the last couple of years, and I really don't want to base everything just on the last month. I mean, there's a lot of, like, there's a big international soccer tournament on TV, and I've been taping the games I can't watch live, and then, you know, get home from work and try to watch them. And sometimes I'm more interested in watching soccer than getting out there running. And so it makes me wonder where's my interest lie. And, you know, a little part of me wonders, you know, do you really want to keep doing the real long stuff, or is the marathon, half marathon distance going to be sufficient to get whatever feeling you're looking for? And maybe some other listeners out there can relate to that. I mean, I never run the ultras for anybody else, and it's not to be cool or to compare myself, because I never win. I don't even do that well. I mean, I finish the distance, which has always been the goal. Yeah, I've got some good camaraderie along the way. I mean, I'm signed up for Richmond. Did the early bird sign up last year, Richmond Marathon. That's in November. So I guess I'm in a sense, I'm already training for that. And I do all grassroots training. I don't join any training teams. It's been a while since I've done that. I guess the reason is I've always liked the flexibility to do my own thing, and the flexibility to sit around and not do anything. Because I know Richmond has their marathon training team's already started up. So, you know, there's that little part of me that wonders that. And then there's the majority part of me that desires to have that ability again to get out there and run for 2 hours and, you know, seek that runner's high, a natural runner's high, which you can kind of get. You can kind of get a second runner's high after you've been out there for a while. You just kind of feel like you're floating a little bit because you just feel like you can go on forever. And I've had that feeling before, even if it's been interspersed with walk breaks, you know, strategic breaks. But the majority of me wants to get that ability back. And I know the only way to do it is to get out there day after day. And I know not all listeners of my podcast do ultras. I know a lot of them do marathons, half marathons. So I know you know what I'm talking about by desiring to have that ability at all times to go out there and get in that double-digit long run, come home, feel like you've really accomplished something. That's what I want to get back. But, you know, you got to earn it. There's no way to cheat. You just got to earn every step, which is what I'm doing today. And in some ways, I hope that every step I take takes a fraction off my gut, which is where the majority of my weight has gone, as I feel my dress pants getting tighter. I gotta get rid of some of this. And for me, it's just diet, food, you know, food diet, and exercise. Now, I know that at some point, your body does get used to the running exercise, and you gotta switch it around a little bit. So that's why I did hill repeats a lot back in April, which I kind of ended up liking. So maybe I ought to introduce some of that. Maybe that's something to think about. All right, just finishing up a walk break here. Fast forward to 2.3 miles. I couldn't walk it. I usually do my walk break at every mile. You know, I get the reward of the little beep on the Garmin. But I was all of a sudden around that point, I came up on the guy who was going to get his newspaper and walked along the road where I was going to be. And it would have been perfect timing for me to be walking right next to him for a tenth of a mile. And that would have been a little awkward because I didn't know him. I just kept running and then took my break a little later. Yeah, it's very unlike Tom not to make a run when he says he's going to do it. But I know the feeling, because last week I bagged the group that I'm affiliated with locally. Not Team Incognito, but kind of some offshoots of the old Team Doom group. If you're a long-time listener, you remember Team Doom. But I bagged last week. The group was going out at 6:30, and I was out at a work-related event the Friday before. And although I got home around 10, I already knew at that point to make the call that I wasn't going to be there at 6:30, if you know what I mean. And I ended up going out at 9 on my own and getting 6 in, which was a real struggle. It really was. I just couldn't do it. But I kind of wanted to, I was hoping some of the guys would show up this morning. I sent out an email to Rodney and then Coach Prophet. And Coach Prophet is going to be running the Patrick Henry Half Marathon again, which he ran last year for the first time. We all ran with them. This year I can't do it because I'm on call, but I think what I plan to do is get out on the course on my bike, and as long as I don't get too far from home where I can't get back, you know, within 20 minutes if I get called out to work, I think it'll be fun to go out there and support the runners. I mean, this is a half marathon that I can walk from my house to the start-finish line. And part of the course is in the town, and certainly most of it reachable by bike. So no reason why I shouldn't go out there and support everybody and have some fun with it. Maybe even shoot a little video and for Coach Kevin, Coach Prophet. I have to wait and see. But speaking of Patrick Henry, this allows me to segue into something I'm doing later this morning with my daughter. We're going to go to a historical reenactment, not of Patrick Henry, but at the place where Patrick Henry argued his first case, which is the old Hanover Courthouse at Hanover Courthouse, Virginia, 6 miles to the east of where I live. And it's going to be actually somebody doing an interpretation of George Washington, speaking about the Revolution, his time in Hanover County, and some other things of his day. And I thought that would be pretty cool because my daughter's really interested in presidents right now, especially Abraham Lincoln. But nobody does any interpretations of Abraham Lincoln around here because he didn't really do much. Abraham Lincoln came to Richmond. I don't think he ever came to Hanover. But George Washington did. And there is some speculation. Well, he stayed at the Hanover Tavern overnight with his wife. That's a historic fact. However, I've seen information on both sides, whether he stayed there before he went to Yorktown or after coming back from Yorktown. Now, if you are an international listener, you're probably thinking, what the hell is Yorktown? Hopefully, if you're an American listener, you know what Yorktown is. Victory at Yorktown, that would be where Cornwallis surrendered. So, and that's where the victory at Yorktown, that's where the Revolutionary War ended. So we don't know if George Washington came through Hanover on his way back or his way there. I guess if I kept reading the information on my computer screen, I would have found out. But you know, you put in those search terms, you get so much information back. Before you know it, you've lost 30 minutes, but you can't get back. And you wondered if you really, really learned anything at all. Information overload, overdose. I'm sure y'all out there know what I mean. by that. Sometimes it just gets to be a little much. But that's the age we live in. All right, fast forward to 3. Taking my little walk break. I know I only did 0.8. But would you believe me if I told you it was 100% humidity? No breeze. At least not on the spec end. It was running into a breeze at the beginning of the show. A little off topic here. I wonder if anybody has ever seen a play called The Play's the Thing. What it is, it's a... I think this is what it was. It was what the audience sees is the backstage of the actors putting on a play for the other side of the set, if that makes any sense. So what the audience sees is backstage of people putting on a play. And so the actual play that the audience is seeing is what the people are doing backstage. And that's the storyline. Well, so the play's the thing. Well, I'm going to talk, my little topic here is going to be the podcast, the thing. I think what my biggest problem is with getting out regular shows, and this is just me thinking out loud, and it's a great way to kill time when you're running by yourself, of course, is to talk to yourself. So this is a little bit of a ramble as I analyze why I would love to get out shows more often. Maybe I'm putting too much pressure on myself to get out a 30-minute show, and maybe you listeners out there wouldn't mind something shorter and more frequent. That is definitely very possible, because there'd be less emails to go over and talk about, because I love talking about listener emails, and then for this show at the end, I got some really good ones from some regular listeners. So I don't know, I'll throw that out there. You can give me any feedback at ashfromdave@gmail.com if you care to comment on it, and I'll read those. I'm kind of curious. I think that might help me get a little more accountable, because I feel like if I haven't run, and I feel like I don't have anything to talk about. I think that's just my personality. And again, the podcast is not for glory or fame, it's to kind of hold myself accountable, and it kind of morphed into other things, but maybe I should return to some of the fundamental reason why I started it, and that was to reflect on my training, what I'm trying to accomplish, and then kind of from time to time branch out on other topics as they come up. You know, I do very, very few interviews. And so, the people I interview, I guess, in some ways I feel like are kind of elite. You know, like Steve, who is raising funds. Sandy, who's doing remarkable stuff. I interviewed Chris, who runs Ultras down in Georgia. Interviewed Ash and Tom way back when he first got in the Maniacs. So I guess that's a good ramble. I just saw a group of people that I know pass in front of me. Tom, Laura, Tammy, which is Coach Kevin's wife, and Tana. It's too far away to catch up with them, and I don't think they recognize me. But I got a train getting ready to come up behind me. And I haven't had a train recording in quite some time, so it's going to be kind of cool for me to listen to it later to see how loud it is. And it looks like an Amtrak. Can't really tell. So right now I'm running 3 feet from two sets of tracks that go north and south right through the center of town. And there should be a special treat if you've never heard how close the train is to where we get to run. Probably hear that. We love the train in Ashland, the people who live here. It's not a nuisance at all. It makes Ashland a special place, because every now and then everybody has to just stop for a few minutes and wait for the train to pass. And it's only really the people that live outside of town, they probably think that's a nuisance. For example, people live out in the West End, or people that are trying to get to the East End. I've always liked it. We live a block from the tracks. It's considered a quiet town. In other words, what you just heard there was the train blowing the whistle at the southernmost intersection where they're allowed to do that. And then they cross four streets in town where they don't blow it at all. And then when they get north of town, they blow the whistle again for the crossings. So we don't really hear it that much in my house. So, hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So the train is on the eastern track, so that makes me about 12 feet from this train that's coming up behind me. And it's not a freight train, so it won't be as loud, but it's an Amtrak. And here it is. Pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've always liked running next to the train. Get ready to pass. Pastor at my church. So I'll holler over a good morning to him. Good morning. Hey, Father, how you doing? It's a little more humid out here than I thought when I first got the newspaper. I always look for an excuse. See ya. This is Father Chris of my church. He walks every morning, like 4 to 5 miles, he said. Pretty cool. Oh, this is really cool. I'm actually getting ready to turn around and head for home and fast forward to 5 miles. You get to see how loud this freaking freight train is. Yeah, it's definitely a freight train. So I'm just gonna run a little back and forth here until... That's why I love running along the tracks. And I think the railroad run is just... God, that's loud. Yeah, that is loud. Hey, I got a little wave from the engineer. That was cool. All right, I'm going to head home. I'm at 5, and I'm about a mile and a half from the house, so that'll work out pretty good with me being over 6 for today. So if I make it, I'll that'll be a victory. All right, I'm done. 6.5, hour and 10 minutes. That last 0.4, I was actually mostly walking because I was picking up litter. Let's see what my, I really only planned for 6, so that was a bonus. Let's see what my average pace of 10:49. I've gone, in the last couple of years, I've gone from a 10 minute mile, well, maybe 10:15 pace to 10:30 or slower. But 1,000 calories, a little over 1,000 calories. I could just stay away from the beer today. Well, this was a success, victory. Feel good. I think I'll feel so good. I think I'll do it tomorrow. All right, let's check out the email bag section of the show.
And that's right. This is the email bag section of the show. I'm back in the studio, which consists of my kitchen countertop. And we heard from David Williams from Down Under, and he is still working on his fundraiser. He's going to be doing the 200 kilometers from down in Tasmania, from Launceston to Hobart, which is 200 kilometers. It's over 4 days in September of 2013. But his goal is to raise $20,000 for the Cure Cancer Foundation, which supports young researchers who investigate new cures for this dreadful disease. For what he's going to do is the run goes down the main highway between the two cities, with stops in all the towns and villages along the way to get more donations. And as an ultimate draw card, the mayor of Hobart is suggesting an official welcome for us when they get there. He's already got some sponsors, and I will put a link to his sponsor page, which is 200kmsforacure.com, and I'll put that at ashlanddave.podbean.com, and you can check that out. He's always looking for even small donations help. Everything helps getting him to his goal of 20,000. I also got another email from him. Let's see. He's doing lots of extra training. He's doing some fast repeats, And his coach is just killing him with the, he's being coached for this training. 200 kilometers is, that's over 120 miles in just a couple days. He says that he's looking at a trip to the U.S. in 2014, probably 2 weeks in May. He's going to be going around Arizona or California, and he's hoping to get a race in. He said, ideally, he would like to run the Grand Canyon, and he wanted to know if he could talk me into it. Well, Dave, unfortunately, that's on the other side of the country for me, so that would be a pretty I know you're spending a lot to come to the U.S., but I don't have any plans in the near future to head out that way. I will come up with some ideas for some races for you to do. I don't really, if you're looking at, you know, the real huge races, I would probably recommend the Big Sur Marathon. I hear that's probably the most scenic in the, but I don't know when it is in May. You'd have to look at marathonguide.com, I guess, to check to see which races are in those 2 weeks that you're going to be here next year. I'll be watching a lot of World Cup soccer next May. The tournament starts next year, and I think they start in May or early June. But anyway, hopefully you have a great trip, and as always, it's great to hear from you. I appreciate you listening to the show, and being a loyal listener really means a lot. We also heard from Kevin, and this was kind of a mass mail-out. I'm going to add a promo to the end of the podcast, so if you want to listen to that, it's about a new half-marathon program that Kevin and Jeff Galloway and I think another guy named Chris who is involved in it. They're doing a promo for a half marathon training program, which I'll add to the end of the show if I can figure out how to add their MP3, so you can check that out. Also, well, we heard from that. Let's go to, I heard from Jennifer, and she is from, looks like Montreal. She has Montreal in her email, and she wanted a copy of the checklist from episode number 175, which is the race director checklist. So I sent that to her, and I did not hear back from her, so I guess she was able to open that, and hopefully, Jennifer, that was helpful for you. Heard from Christina, and yeah, Christina, it has been a while, and I'm glad that you wrote in, and I know that it's been a while. It took me a while to email back to you, so I really do appreciate you still listening to the show. And if you listen to this show, then you'll understand why it took me a while to get back to you. But I really do appreciate you listening to the show and being a loyal listener. Also heard from Dr. Smitty, and he will be in the Ashland area for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which is in the weekend before Labor Day. So it's late August. And he looks like he's running a pair of Hokas now, and he said he really likes them a lot. He does his long runs in them in the past weeks with no issues, but he doesn't think he's going to race in them because the cushioning slows him down a little bit. But that helps with slowing him down for when he does the long runs. So, Dr. Smitty, I definitely owe you an email. I appreciate the note. And, yeah, it looks like we'll miss each other this summer. I'll see you at the Patrick Henry Half. I'll be out there. I just won't really be able to partake afterwards like we did last year. Or, no, maybe that was the railroad run that we were sat in that restaurant for a while. Anyway, I look forward to seeing you. Appreciate you writing in. I'm sorry I just haven't been able to get back to you. Also heard from Sandy. Fortunately, she was a DNF for the Kettle Moraine. She attempted that, which was her second 100-miler. And after 62, 63 miles, she started throwing up and was having a hard time getting any solid foods in. She's going to be back next year to try to finish it, and I have no doubt that she will. That's one tough lady. There's no doubt about it. Had the opportunity to run with her at the Blue Ridge Marathon, which was a lot of fun. And you never think that she was, this ultra distance runner, 100 miler, just by talking to her, because she's so down to earth and humble and really nice to be around. And her husband is really cool too, and just a great couple to be around. So can't wait to see you guys again, and I'm sure we'll cross paths at another race. Looks like according to the email here, Sandy, you said you're signed up for the Beast of Burden 100 miler in August. So looks like you'll attempt it again before Kettle Moraine next year, and I think that's really cool. And so I'll have to look that up and find out when the date is, because that's really not that far away. Heard from Ashland Dave Williams, and Mechanicsville Dave Williams. He had sent me an email out about getting a team together for Colonial 200, but it looks like I was a little late because the team that he joined up filled up. Dave, you'll have a great time with that. I know you worked one of the exchange points last year, not really a water stop because you had to bring your own in the pouring rain. It's like I said before, it's probably the most fun adults can have with their clothes on and without cheating on your wife or your husband. Just absolutely fun and just a great way to spend time, you know, running throughout the night. And last but not least, I heard from Snuggy Bear, and I think he kind of sent me a link probably through Facebook or something. I'm not really sure how I got it, but it came in through my email. And he is trying to gauge some interest to see who's done the Rocket City Marathon, which is down in Alabama. And just wondered if anybody has done that. So if you have, send me an email at ashanddave@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And like I said, I'm going to add on this promo here at the end. It's going to be after the Star Spangled Banner. So if you want to go ahead and listen to the whole Star Spangled Banner and then to the promo, which is about... It's a little long. I should have emailed the guy back and asked him if he had the short version. I think he'd probably get a lot more insertions into people's podcasts and try to get the word out. I'm all about getting the word out if something is easy. So if I can download it to my machine and I can insert it into the audio thing here, it'll be after the Star Spangled Banner. So that's the show for this week. I'm really glad you came along if you listened this long. And I don't want to apologize for being so long to get the show out because I haven't done anything wrong, so I don't feel like I have to apologize. But I'll just say that I hope to get another show out sooner than the time between this one and episode 178. With that being said, this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.
Jeff Galloway, Olympian and distance running expert.
I'm Chris Twiggs, National Program Director of the Galloway Training Program and Endurance Athlete.
And I'm Kevin, huge fan of Jeff Galloway and his run, walk, run training method and the host of the Extra Mile Podcast.
Three of us have come together today to tell you about an exciting new sequel to the very popular marathon edition of the Galloway Extra Mile Podcast.
That's right, Jeff. This time we have our eyes set on the most popular running distance in the world, the half marathon.
Besides taking you gently by the hand and run walking you right across the finish line of your half marathon injury-free and with a smile on your face, this time we add a very special and exciting twist.
This time, three lucky listeners will receive individualized e-coaching from Chris.
Very cool, Jeff. So if you have ever wanted to finish a half marathon,
or if you have finished one but want to see how the Galloway Run, Walk, Run training method can change the way you run forever,
or even if you already use the Galloway Run, Walk, Run method but want to see how it can actually make you faster,
this podcast is for you. So here's the deal. Beginning in late June, Jeff, Chris, and I will begin producing the Galloway Extra Mile Half Marathon Edition. In this podcast, We take you through the Galloway Run Walk Run training method from start to finish, from your first step out the door
to the last step across the finish line, injury free. So make sure you keep your eyes and ears open for the Galloway Extra Mile Half Marathon Edition. Details will be posted at www.thegallowayextramile.com very soon, as well as on our Facebook page at facebook.com/GallowayExtraMile and in iTunes. So until then, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
And I promise that's the end.